Would you turn with me in your Bibles to that famous passage in Matthew chapter 28, the last words of our Lord before he was taken up before his disciples. And we are soon awaiting the coming of our Lord. And meanwhile, these words are the words on which we dwell and we obey. So let me read with you Matthew chapter 28. And family of God, where I come from, with this book in your hand, you can be beaten. You can be put in prison. I have seen my colleagues martyred. Several of my students over the years who have laid their lives down because this was the most important thing. So there is something that we do, and I would ask you to do now. And that is, in honor of the reading of God's word, would you please stand in your places? And let me remind you once again that we hold the word of God in our hands, not human wisdom or human logic, but this is God speaking God to us. Matthew chapter 28 and those last four verses in chapter 28, beginning from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." May the Lord bless the reading and the application of his word to our lives. Please be seated. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your living word, and we are grateful that you have placed your words in our lives and literally in our hands. So once again this morning, Lord, we come desirous to hear your words to us. And you once again challenge us, inspire us, move us. May this not be just another routine chapel, but Lord, in one in which you would come and speak to us and challenge us, Lord. We give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Family of God, I represent before you 1.3 billion people, with a population in North India of 650 million people, and not even 1% of them know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I just don't stand here making a routine appeal for us to be disciple makers wherever we are. It does not matter what our age is. It does not matter what our qualification is. But what matters is that we are disciples of Christ. And he has asked each one of us to go out there and make disciples. So I've titled the talk this morning is Discipling the Nations. Discipling the Nations. The Great Commission does not begin with a command, if you notice here, but it begins with Jesus presenting himself before his disciples then and now, with a statement of who he is. It is not a task that is put before us, but a person is presented before us. Jesus Christ, this is the magnificent Christ, the resurrected Savior who has suffered once and for all for his people, conquering death, soon to be glorified, absolutely brilliant. There is no one like him. There is no name given under heaven by which we can be saved. And as soon as you make a statement like this, you are politically incorrect. You are on the other side of everyone who says, and the world that says, all the roads are leading to the same place. I come from a nation where they worship 350 million gods, and they are not enough. Can you imagine saying this, that there is only one name, there is only one Savior, and there is only one God? But family, that is the message of the Bible. And the world has never been sympathetic to the church or to the message of the gospel. Yes, in some places more than other places. Yes, it may not be as visible here, but where I come from, and very especially North India, if you make a commitment to follow Christ, you could possibly be signing your death warrant. There is no other name. And that is the conviction. And that is the drive. And that is what pushes us towards going and telling the nations that Jesus is God, Savior, Lord. I want to make this very clear to you. The glory of Christ is the basis of world missions. It is not the need. It is not, which is there, and we recognize that, and it has been well enumerated for us in all the researches that have been done now in all the unreached peoples and people groups all around the world. But we can easily be misled by the need. And I want to correct the perspective that the glory of Christ is the basis of missions. The glory of Christ is the basis of us going and making disciples of all the nations. This understanding of Christ is very critical for us in India. As I was saying, with all these millions of gods, which includes the river Ganges. And if you are aware of the news, just yesterday, 15 million people bathed in the river, believing that will cleanse their sins and bring salvation. This is the festival of Kumbh that is going on. The word K-U-M-B-H. Go and Google it, research it, what is happening in the next 6 weeks in North India. 120 million people in the largest religious gathering ever seen in the world are going to converge on the banks of River Ganges, taking a holy bath that will cleanse their sins. Can you understand how wonderful it is to know that it is not a river, but it is that stream that flows from Calvary, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. It is not a river that cleanses our sins, but it is the blood of Christ, God's Son, Savior, that washes our sin. Lord Jesus does not begin by telling his disciples, go and make disciples, but by telling the disciples, and this is, I want this to be riveted in your mind, that we need to recognize just how amazing Jesus Christ is. He is not a God standing amongst other gods and trying to prove his credentials to other gods that he is the only God. No, Jesus is the only God, Lord, and Savior. And what does verse 18 and 19 say to us? All authority It is not some authority in Christian universities. It says all authorities. It is not some authority in some denominations of Christian faith, but it says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, all authority is mine. Therefore, I'm telling you to go and make disciples. Have you seen anybody who has got all authority in heaven and on earth? Not some authority, but all authority. It is Jesus Christ. Can I clear this in your mind? It is Jesus Christ. There is more power in this passage than all the nations and the armies of the world have put together. This is an astounding statement. This is not some tiny lamb leading a bunch of misfits into a battle that they are surely going to lose. This is Jesus, victorious over the cross, victorious over death, and after his resurrection, commanding the disciples to go and make disciples. This is so encouraging for us that when we obey Lord Jesus, we can expect marvelous things to happen. I cannot tell you how many times God has broken out in the ministry of Delhi Bible Institute and in the lives of people we work with. When we obey, there is something that happens in and through our obedience. We are in a city called Jaipur in Rajasthan, and our whole neighborhood was aligned against us that they will not allow this work to survive in that area. And we were there not because of a strategy. We were there in obedience to go and make disciples. And on one afternoon, in an amazing breakthrough, while we were praying, God turned up. How? In the answer and in the breakthrough he gave us in the neighborhood. And we praise God now how the work is prospering. What I'm trying to say to you is, you do not know how God is going to turn up in your life and in your ministry because of your obedience. We do not have any clout, but Jesus has got all the authority. He puts his name to this command, and you will be amazed what he is going to do with it. You are sitting there and you are wondering, and you are saying a vast, sweeping statement like this. How can that be true? How can he have all the authority when in India and China alone, 2 billion people follow everything else but Christ? Worldwide, more and more legislations are being brought that makes it difficult to live as Christians. Look at Western Europe. Look at Middle East. When you look at the opposition, you might say, does Jesus have got all the authority? Family, can I warn you against such mindset? Christians become complicit in this temptation. Is Jesus the only one? Or should we look for someone else? Is Jesus God, this magnificent one, or not? Do you know the answer does not lie in human logic? The answer does not lie in public opinion. The answer does not lie in what the world says. The answer lies with Jesus himself. He says, I am. And therefore, you go and make disciples. You might be sitting there and saying, me making disciples? How impossible. You might be sitting there and saying, it is fine with someone like you who is articulate and who is fearless. It is okay for you to go and say, going and making disciples. But if I give you just a window into my life, I was an abandoned kid on the streets of Delhi. I was rescued by a first generation Muslim convert grandfather. He introduced me to this Savior, Jesus. I'm now being used for the glory of God. You can be sitting there and counting your disadvantages, but can I encourage you? He can take all your disadvantages and turn them into advantages and can use it for His glory. It depends on your obedience. As it has been very well said by someone, in Christ, our bad turns out for good. Our good can never be taken away from us. And the best is always yet to come in Christ Jesus. This is our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ, setting us up to go and make disciples of all the nations. Family, how could I be standing here before you? My grandfather was an Islamist. He, along with his father, traveled all the way from Saudi Arabia through Persia, coming into India to proclaim Islam. He had a title in front of his name called Sayyid that traced his ancestry to Prophet Muhammad himself. Somebody dared to speak about Jesus to this Islamist. And then what happened? And then faith was born. And he was saved. And here I am, his grandson, standing before you. And my children who are here in your presence in this university. How did it happen? Because someone dared to believe that this is God's word for our time. And that we need to go and make disciples of all the nations. Whatever their background is, let us not assume that they do not want to hear the gospel. My second point to you is, then what are the kinds of people God uses in making disciples? Who are they? Are they some special category of people? Yes, the only special thing about them is that they are obedient. When they are confronted with God's word, they say, yes, this is for me. God uses willing and obedient disciples. Did you hear that? God uses willing and obedient disciples. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, Jesus asked his disciples to go 70 miles from Jerusalem and meet him in Galilee. If you walk at 4 miles an hour, it will take you 18 hours to traverse that distance. This is about 3 days walk, averaging 6 hours of walk daily. Just imagine the disciples hearing this. The disciples said, "Ah, this is interesting. Shall we have a discussion among ourselves who will go? Surely all of us cannot go after the trauma we have gone through seeing our Savior crucified. Yes, the Lord surely means that some able-bodied can walk the next 3 days and go and see him. No, we have the scriptures recording for us that they all went. Students, teachers, all of us who are here, can I say this to you? There is nothing called a legitimate excuse in not making disciples. Did you get it? There is nothing called a legitimate excuse for not making disciples. How well do I follow God's instruction? How well will I follow God's instruction? Only as well I believe in Him and recognize His authority over my life. That this is not my life. This life belongs to Jesus. If Jesus says go, then family, let's go. Let us go and make disciples of the nations. The Lord asks us to go, and if I explain this to you, our own journey in Delhi Bible Institute in three stages, from 1954 to 1984, we made 500 disciples. From 1984 to 2004, we made 4,074 disciples. And since 2005 till now, 65,000 plus disciples. Imagine if we had stopped 20 years ago making disciples, saying that the world now is different. Now we have to modify our preaching or our proclamation. No, the Word of God remains the same, and our Savior and our God remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, He is the same God, and the message that we have is the same message. Small obediences lead to significant obediences. Significant obediences lead to radical obediences. And radical obediences results in amazing results. Do not think that one day you will just stand up and make a earth-moving declaration that Jesus is God if you are not obeying in small things today. What are the small things I'm talking about? Talking to God daily. Reading His Word often, many times during the day. Those are the small obediences that really equip you, prepare you to be disciples of the nation. Family, among the first whom we trained, and since then many, among the first students whom we equipped with the gospel, was a young man by the name of Dorai Raj. Dorai Raj, at the graduation day, declared that he is going to go to one of the most difficult parts of North India, in Rajasthan, and proclaim the gospel there. Within weeks of being there on the ground, Dorai Raj was martyred. Many after him, many of the students, many a times I tell teachers who come to teach our students, I said, these are not students. Don't think they are students. I said, they are the future martyrs of the church in India. These are the martyrs because they will obey. They will not consider their life worth living if Christ is not made known. Many continue to suffer, but do not give up their obedience. Do not think at any time that because you are obeying, you will be safe, you will be secure, you will be comfortable. If our Savior was put on the cross, we will surely suffer also. It's going to be suffering now, but there is a day that is coming that will be very glorious for all of us. Let us wait for that glory on that day. We will have that glory. The big question is, are we going to obey? God uses those who are continually learning. In North India, Hindus ask different questions than the Sikhs. Sikhs are asking different questions than the Buddhists. Buddhists are asking different questions than the Muslims. I need to find the answers. Where will I find the answer? That book has not been written as yet, where all the answers are there. But we thank God the answers are there in the Word of God. Discipleship making, are you listening? Keeps you in the Word. Discipleship making keeps you in the Word. It is not a method as much as it is an obedience to the message and the message that we proclaim. Ordinary people working with God, achieving extraordinary results. God uses them to establishing worshiping communities. And verse 17 says that, and when they saw him, they fell on their faces and worshiped him. Discipleship making is for the purpose of establishing worshiping communities among those who have never heard the gospel. Our vision in Delhi Bible Institute is that by 2025, as a result of all the disciples that we are making right across North India, to see the establishing of 20,000 worshiping communities right across North India. And that figure might be baffling to your mind. But family, I come from a region where there are 650 million people. I come from a city where there are 22 million people. When I am in Cedarville, the question before me is, where are the people? Why do we want to establish worshiping community? Because Jesus is worthy of our worship. I must conclude this. My third point to you is making disciples is a lifestyle calling. Did you hear that? Making disciples is a lifestyle calling. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nation. It is not an assignment for just merely a season of life. You make disciples all the time. The problem with assignments is this, that right from the first day we have been to any kind of education or school, we have learned all the tricks of doing an assignment quickly and successfully. We know all the shortcuts. Missions, tick. Yes, I've been there for a week. Prayer, yes, I was there in a prayer meeting. We know how to tick on all the assignments. And family, this is not an assignment. The problem with assignment is we finish the assignment and then get on with our favorite distractions. We think life is all about our entertainment, but our life is all about making disciples of all the nation. And do you know when Jesus says, go and make disciples, it is not a request. He does not say, would you consider the possibilities every now and then in your spare time to make disciples? Does the word of God say that? Please, please, Peter, please, Andrew, in your spare time, would you please consider making disciples? That is not what the word of God says. He is not begging. He is not groveling at the feet and saying, when you have earned all your money, when you are established in your career, when it is politically correct, then make disciples. There is no such conditions over there. He does not say, when it is convenient and the weather is good, then you can go out and make disciples. He is not pleading. And let me confront you with some truth over here. He is commanding. And oh, we don't like to be commanded. We don't like to be told. We have somehow figured it out that we are the masters of our own destinies. We know exactly what has to happen in our lives. And then we face someone like Jesus commanding us to go and make disciples. And I said to you just now, the consequences can be dangerous. My team members have been beaten, thrown out of their homes. Some have death sentences passed against them by religious group, and many of them have been martyred. There have been many times when our children were still small, I had to go to places where our team members were murdered, and I would sit with my family and look at my four children and my young wife in the eyes and say to them, Daddy may not come back from this assignment. That is the reality of making disciples of all the nations. And therefore, discipleship making keeps you in prayer all the time. And you may not all be able to go to those difficult places, but nothing can stop us from praying. And family, I'm hoping to talk to you about prayer tomorrow. Prayer are like drones, unmanned combat aerial vehicles, operated from a remote location, doing maximum damage on the battle front lines. You can pray. Nothing can stop you from not praying for those unreached areas of the world. I believe that the Lord today will place in the hearts of some of us here, and my desire is in the hearts of all of us here, that we will go and make disciples of all the nations, that many of you today will hear the voice of the Master, that I have separated you to make disciples in India, that I have separated you to make disciples in Africa, in China, and in those difficult Middle East countries. I hope that the Lord will push you and make you uneasy till the time you make a pact with the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I will go. Do you know the cities we prayed for in North India? The Lord took us there. Consider the challenge that is before us. This is our commission. This is the message the church is proclaiming in North India. None of the programs of the world has the basis and authority the church has. Secular humanism, militant Hinduism and Islam, moral relativism do not have the authority the church has, nor the power. This is the radical call of Jesus. It is local and it is global. As an individual, you have a role. Make your life count for Jesus. Would you make your life count for Jesus? How will you use your life? One life to tell the world about Jesus. One life only. As John Piper has said, you only get one pass at life. That's all. Only one. And the lasting measure of that life is Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you in my last minutes standing before you? The most radical prayer that you can pray right now is, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Would you say this with me? Would you say this together with me if you are able? Lord, use me. Would you say it with a little bit of more conviction? Right, this is Cyril. Lord, use me. Would you now put a little more of your spirit, mind, and body behind it and say it louder? Lord, use me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity once again to open your word in this manner. Lord, you have heard our confession, and we pray that you would use us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go out, there is a little stone elephant like this, and there is a prayer card like this. I want you to take these two, put this little stone elephant on your study table that reminds you that you took a promise pledge that, Lord, you would use me in making disciples. And while you do this, would you take this and pray for the vision and ministry of Delhi Bible Institute in North India? Have a great day with Jesus studying.